is I'm going to read Isaiah 52, the end of 52, and Isaiah 53. If you'd like to open to that and follow along, that would be possibly beneficial. You know what is interesting about this passage, and I'm always drawn back to this passage, and we've heard this passage many times. But what is significant about this, this is Isaiah talking about the future, four centuries in the future, but he writes about it as if it had already happened. Did you hear that? He talks about something that is 4 to 6 centuries in the future, but he writes about it with a retrospective view. He writes about it as if it's already happened, and he's looking back on this event and describing and explaining and analyzing it. Very interesting. And I want you to also understand something else when you listen to this reading today. Matt sang, Jesus paid it all. There's no scripture that signifies more deeply what Jesus paid than Isaiah 53. And I want you to also understand this. And I want you to put yourselves in the sandals of a young Jewish man in the prime of his life, reading this passage and understanding this was his fate. This is where he was headed. I'm going to attempt to read it in such a way that our Lord and Master would have read this. I will start with verse 13 of chapter 52, and I pray the Holy Spirit would strengthen me and lead me in this reading. I pray that it would be a blessing to you as we prepare ourselves for this communion. You see, my servant will act wisely. And because he's going to act wisely, he will be raised and lifted up, and he will be greatly exalted. Jesus is the servant. He reads that. He's hooked. What does it mean to act wisely and raised up and greatly exalted? What is the wisdom that this me, the servant, have to do? Verse 14, the other shoe drops. Just as many were appalled at you. Why? Because his appearance was so disfigured and he was so inhumanly treated that he did not look like a man. And his form did not resemble a human being. Can you get around that? So inhumanely disfigured, what our Lord and Master went through didn't even look like a human being. You're a young Jewish man. You're reading this, and you're in the prime of your life. When I read that this week over and over again, it had one response in me. One response. It puts me on my knees before him. In that same way, so he will sprinkle many nations. How? Well, who's he? Well, he's the servant that will act wisely. And how's he going to sprinkle so many nations? By allowing himself to be so inhumanly treated that he doesn't resemble a human being. Kings will shut their mouths. They'll be tight-lipped. They'll be astonished because of him, this servant who is acting wisely. And the wisdom, contrary to the culture around us, what would the culture around us say would be the wise thing to do if you read that and you see that as your future? What would the dominant culture say? What's the wisdom? Do whatever is necessary to avoid that fate. But this servant focused his attention on God. He readily recognized what God wanted, and he responded to it. And because of that, the people who were appalled at him, because his appearance didn't even look like a human being, it turns from being appalled at that to awe. Kings stand before him, tight-lipped, nothing to say. They will understand what they had not heard. Isaiah says with incredulity, who has believed what we have heard? Who would ever look at this plan and believe it? Hardly wisdom. No one's going to be exalted after going through this. Who has believed what we have heard? And who has the arm of the Lord been revealed to? In other words, who in their wildest dreams saw this occasion as God revealing his strong arm? His suffering servant being so inhumanly treated that he doesn't look like a man, and we look at that and we say, well, that's God revealing his wisdom. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. That's unheard of. A plant or a root coming out of dry ground? It's unexpected. Now, he had no form or splendor that we should look at him. His form did not charm or attract us. No appearance that we should desire him. There was nothing special about his appearance. He didn't charm us. In fact, verse 3, oh, far from that. He was despised. And he was rejected by men. Why? Why was he despised and rejected by men? Isaiah says, I'll tell you why. Because he was a man of suffering. A man who knew what sickness was. He was like one that people turned away from. It was as if we averted our gaze from him because we didn't want to know. We didn't want to see this suffering servant being so inhumanly treated that he didn't look like a man. So what do? How does the world respond to that, Isaiah says? We put it away from us. We turn our eyes away, and we despise it. He was despised, and we did not value him. Verse 4. In spite of our attitude, that's the attitude we have toward this one. We despise him. We reject him. We avert our gaze from him. We don't want to deal with what he went through. We don't want to hear about it. You know, this came home to me. Our whole culture is built around this sort of thing. What do we do with those among us who are ill and who are suffering? You know, when Timmy was in the hospital, I thought, this is what we do. We take these people that are suffering and are sick, and we put them into buildings with brick walls so that they're away from us. We don't want to see it. We don't want to deal with this because it's too inconvenient. That's exactly what's going on here. And in spite of our attitude, that was our attitude, yet he himself bore our sicknesses. And he carried our pains. Those things that made us avert our gaze from him, the sickness and the pain that he was dealing with, were our sicknesses and pains. And that was our attitude, and in spite of our attitude being that, he did it. How would you do with that? You don't appreciate what I'm going to do for you? Well, you don't understand what I'm going through for you? Forget it. I want some recognition here. Wouldn't we? I would. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses and he carried our pains. We still didn't get it. And we in turn regarded him as stricken, struck down by God and afflicted. We thought he was being punished for something that he did. He deserved it. He's being punished by the pagans. No Messiah. No Messiah is crucified by the pagans. Obviously, it was something that he did wrong. That was our attitude. We didn't understand that he was carrying our pains and our sicknesses. We thought that he was being punished and deservedly so, and therefore we averted our gaze from him. Verse 5. But, Isaiah says, in retrospect, when I look back on this, Isaiah says, I get it. My attitude was so wrong. I read that situation so poorly, and when I look back on it, he says, but now I see that he was pierced because of our transgressions, not his. And he was crushed because of our iniquities, not his. Punishment for our peace was on him. And we are healed by his wounds. Ah, Isaiah says. You see how he talks about the future in a retrospective view? How brilliant is this? He's talking about the future and he's stepping back and he's looking at it as in the past because now he says, I understand. Verse 6. We all went astray. Like sheep. We have all turned to our own way. That was the sin. We did it. We turned away. We went our own way. And the Lord has punished. Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us. We go our own way. We turn away, and Isaiah says, with wonder and awe, and yet the Lord's going to punish him? Verse 7, he was oppressed and afflicted. Yet, in spite of that, he did not open his mouth. Wrongly accused, oppressed, afflicted, unfairly treated. How do you do with that? Don't fit into your culture so well that you don't even think. Jesus is showing us something here. Sheep tactics. Have you been oppressed? Have you been afflicted? Have you been unfairly accused? Do you open your mouth? Isaiah says he had all that going for him, yet he didn't even open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. Verse 8. He was taken away forcibly after the sentence. I read this, and I fast forward, and I read the crucifixion narratives. No man could write this book. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment. And even though he was forcibly taken away, once the sentence was passed and once judgment was done, he was spirited away. You know the story. What does Isaiah say next? Where were his friends? Who even considered his fate? Where were the followers? for he was cut off from the land of the living. I put myself inside the sandals of Jesus at this point. Sentenced, judged, oppressed, unfair, not much older than Tory. Friends desert him. And he doesn't open his mouth. He was struck because of my people's rebellion. They made his grave with the wicked and with a rich man at his death, although he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. In spite of that, verse 10, yet the Lord was pleased to crush him, and he made him sick with pain. When you make him God, when you make him a restitution offering, he, the suffering servant who will act wisely, he will see it. Get this nuance. He won't see it until his ordeal is over. How intensely human. He will see it, but not till he's out of his anguish. And the will of the Lord will succeed by his hand. He will be satisfied with his knowledge once he gets over the ordeal and once he looks back and he sees what it all meant. My righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. You know what happens to us? You know what might be happening right now? We become so jaded to this story that the communion that we're about to do becomes ritualistic. Verse 12, therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil. Why? Because he submitted himself to death and allowed himself to be counted with the rebels. He exposed himself to death. That's how this servant acts wisely. Do we have to do that? Do you ever expose yourself to death? Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels. Brock, would you come up and give us your special number, please?